Assalamu alaikum. We have just before Sheikh Abdul Rauf's lecture, which is in about 10 minutes, we'll have a short story on Islam of one of our convert brothers who are connected to our center here. So this brother will share this story with you, and then we will begin. On the women's side, they will do the same, inshallah, and then we'll begin, as I said, within 10 minutes. So we have our brother Ahmed Cleaver from the United States, who will be sharing his story with you in 10 minutes, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. How's everyone? My name is Ahmed. I embraced Islam in the U.S. about 11 years ago, on the 3rd of August, 1993. And what led me to that, of course, first, alhamdulillah, is from the guidance from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when I was a student in the university, I used to have a scholarship. And my scholarship, it required or obligated me to work inside the university. So I was a young man, you know, in the university. I tried to find the easiest job that I could possibly discover, and I found an easy job in a library. So I used to work in a very small library, and it was a big university, had very large libraries, but the one I found was very small, and it was called the Alternative Library. It had a lot of books about politics and religion and different cultures. So when I worked in the library, I used to have a lot of free time, and I spent most of my free time reading, because it was a small library, not many people came there. And I used to like to read about religions. And I used to read about any religion I could find, about so many religions, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, Taoism, Confucianism, anything I could find about a religion, I would read it. I used to think at that time that all the religions were different ways of climbing the same mountain. So with that type of perspective, I would read about religions. And then one day I came across the English translation of the Quran. And I said, oh, this is the book of the Muslims. So let me read it and see what they're talking about. So I began to read the Quran. And I read it page by page until I completed it. I could not stop the Quran until I read the whole Quran. So as I read the Quran, this is what drew me to Islam. And I believe that this book truly came from the Creator. And I used to believe that some of the other books of the other religions came from the Creator also. But the Quran used to call me and drag me and make me think and ponder about what Allah was saying in the Quran. And I noticed that as I sit and read the Quran, maybe my mind would wander. I would think about my family, or think about what happens after life, or think about this. I think about some other subject, maybe my work. And the subjects in the Quran also, they change. You can find one ayah talking about Yawm al-Qiyamah. You find another ayah talking about a married couple. You find another ayah talking about Jahannam. So just as the person, his mind ponders and thinks about something else, the Quran also changes the subject. So it would grab my mind. And I noticed also that the Quran, it was speaking in a very simple way. And it was speaking very direct to you, as if Allah is speaking to you very directly. Because in the Christian books, where I was a Christian before, it is always as if it is a third person writing. You see, and God said, and the Prophet said, and such and such. But the Quran is different. It is very direct. As if Allah is speaking to you, and truly Allah is speaking to you in Quran. It is the word of Allah. And these things are what drew me to the Quran and encouraged me to learn more about Islam. And I started to continue to read the Quran and to study about Islam for about 4 years before I embraced Islam, before I was guided to Islam. And these 4 years, I read the Quran 4 times. And I used to read some other books about Islam, or watch some programs or some documentaries, until my heart was opened to embrace Islam. And that day I went to the masjid. I went to a masjid, and I came to the door, and a young Somali man, he came to the door, and he saw me, and he said, brother, I'm sorry, but you cannot come into the masjid with this type of shirt you have. I had a shirt, we call it the tie-dye shirt. It has many different colors, jumbled up, switched. It's a very annoying type of clothes that they wear in America and other countries. So he looked at me and he said, "You can't come into the masjid with that shirt." And he looked at me, and I had a beard and a mustache, but not like this. You know, it was very trimmed, very, you know, well kept, you know, like this. So he looked at me and he said, "Are you a Muslim?" I said, "Well, I want to learn about Islam." So this man, his name was Nasser Warsama, and he took me by the hand and he took me very softly to the side and he started to teach me about Islam. And he did this for about a week, teach me and show me things, very basics about Islam. And he was a knowledgeable brother, mashallah, and patient. And then one day he said, "Halas, I see that you are ready. We have one Muslim, he's from America like you, and he's going to make the khutbah on Friday, on Jummah, so why don't you come to the masjid? I think that you are ready to embrace Islam." And I went with him, and I listened to the khutbah, and Allah guided me, and I said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." But I could say that before this time, I had known Muslims. I had seen many Muslims, especially when I was in the university or in New York City where I'm from. There are Muslims there. But to be quite honest, I was not called to Islam. Nobody came to me and made dawah about Islam. Especially I remember at the university where there are many Muslims from different countries. Maybe from some of the countries that my brothers in this classroom are from. But there are many Muslims there because I went to a very well-known and big university in the States. And there are many foreign students there. And I used to see them, and sometimes we would conversate, and they'd say they are Muslim, but never did one ever call me to Islam or say anything to me about Islam. Even Muslims in America, some of them, they would call you to Islam, but usually they will not say something to you about Islam unless you ask them. If you ask one of the Muslims in America about Islam, oof, he will tell you everything that he knows. But if you don't ask them, usually they are pretty set back. Sometimes I remember one or two of them selling books, telling me about Islam. But if I was waiting for someone to call me to Islam before I embrace Islam, I would be a kafir now today. Huh? So, as Brother Bilal and Brother Abdul Rauf, I'm sure, will tell us in more detail, to make da'wah is very important for us to make da'wah to people, because there are many non-Muslims and they are just living their life chasing their desires and the things that they want, and they have no blessing of Islam. And sometimes people ask me, what is the difference? How do you feel different? What is the difference between being a Muslim and not being a Muslim? And I tell them the difference is like night and day. It is a difference, it is total and complete. When I was a non-Muslim, I just looked to do things that I like. My goal in life is only to do something that I like, whatever pleases me. Oh, I like this, or I like this, I enjoy this. That was my goal. There wasn't any goal about trying to please Allah, trying to live your life in a good way, trying to do what is in your life that is pleasing to the Creator. That was not your goal. But as you embrace Islam and you try to learn your religion, you learn about what Allah loves and what He hates, and what is the good things to do in your life that is in the Sunnah and is the Quran. And if you live it, you'll see your life, as you know very well, I'm sure, it becomes showered in blessings. So the difference is like night and day, or good and bad. Jazakallah khair. Testing, testing.
the sound is on in the sister side, please let us know. No. Okay. Sorry. Okay. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to discuss with you an important topic, which perhaps is sort of an introduction to this course of da'wah, how to use your language, particularly the English language, for calling to the way of Allah. The topics of this course are many, and all of them are important, no doubt. However, this topic, I believe, and Allah knows best, it is one of the most important of the topics that we will discuss during this course, because the intention or the purpose behind this topic, it is to inform someone who is engaged in calling to the way of Allah, or who has an intention or desire to call to the way of Allah. It is intended to inform that person what they are required to do, or what are the qualifications that are necessary in order for them to be successful in that which they intend to do. Indeed, if any one of us were accepted or appointed in any company, corporation or organization to do a particular job, how could anyone expect that that one will be able to fulfill the task and be successful in doing that job unless they know what is expected of them, unless they know what qualifications are necessary in order to do that job. Therefore, every one of us, and it is the obligation on every Muslim, to some extent or another, according to our ability and our circumstances, it is the obligation on every one of us to call to the way of Allah. Therefore, every one of us needs to know what are those characteristics, what are those qualities that are necessary, not only to give da'wah, but more importantly, to be successful in making this da'wah. And the success of da'wah, it is not in the numbers of people that come to Islam through you. No. But the success of your da'wah, it is in clarifying and conveying the message of Islam. Whoever has delivered the message, that is the responsibility that is upon us. As for the opening of hearts and guiding people to Islam, then that is left with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, if we know that every Muslim, male or female, is required to be of good character, of good moral character, then how much more so do we expect of the da'i or the da'iya who's calling to the way of Allah? No doubt, the one who calls to the way of Allah, if they want to be successful, then they are characteristics of the one who calls, and they are principles, foundations for that call that one must know in order to be effective and successful in completing the mission. These characteristics that we will present this evening are few. They are only few. There are 5 characteristics that are mentioned here. However, the characteristics of the da'iya are many, and these are not the only important characteristics. However, for the sake of time, we have limited those characteristics to a few of the most important, which are indeed essential, while there are others which are also important and also essential. It is your responsibility to follow up on this matter and to research and to ask and to come to know and try to implement in one's life these qualities or characteristics. Whoever finds that they possess these characteristics, the characteristics of the successful caller to Allah, whoever finds that they possess these characteristics or some of them, then they should thank Allah, praise Allah. And whoever finds that they do not possess all of these characteristics or any of them, then they should call on Allah and supplicate Him and ask Him sincerely from their heart to enable them to acquire these characteristics, because indeed whatever is of value and benefit, it is incumbent and expected that one should work for it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives from the provisions of this world freely to whomever He wills, likewise these things that we are seeking in the matters of deen and the characteristics of the caller to Islam, Allah gives to some freely to whomever He wills. However, whoever has not been given it, it doesn't mean that you cannot have it. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith which is sahih, he said that innama al-ilm bit-ta'allum wa innama al-hilm bit-tahallum. Whoever doesn't have knowledge, they have to seek it. You have to seek it, you have to go after it. And whoever doesn't have forbearance or patience, then they also have to develop it by working on their self. Therefore, any of these characteristics which we don't find in ourselves, then we should work towards trying to develop them. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives whatever He wills to whomever He wills. And whoever is seeking the khair, that which is good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to His wisdom, He will give it to whomever He wills. The first characteristic of the caller to Islam, and these characteristics, as is mentioned here in the notes, from page 5 until page 8, these 5 characteristics are derived and based upon the Quran and Sunnah. These are characteristics that can be confirmed and supported by evidences from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The foremost quality that the da'i or the caller should have is that of knowledge, al-ilm. Knowledge which is itself a prerequisite for faith. Indeed, al-iman, as-sahih, the correct iman, it has to be based upon knowledge. It is not like some people of other religions who say we believe, but if you ask them about their belief, they cannot explain it. In Islam, it is required that a Muslim understand and know what he believes in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Know that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Knowledge. You have to have knowledge. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in his Sahih, he entitled one of the chapters, بَابْ أَلْعِلْمُ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. Al-ilm precedes. It has to be ahead of and before speech and actions. Whoever speaks without knowledge, then they will be wrong in many cases, if not always. And whoever acts without knowledge, they will act wrongly. If you speak without knowledge, people will say you are ignorant. And if you act without knowledge, you will get no benefit with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the knowledge, it is a prerequisite. It is incumbent that we know what we are calling to and how to call to it. One must have sound knowledge of what one is inviting others to. If the Muslim missionary or caller, da'iya, is ignorant, his message will appear weak and incapable of withstanding close scrutiny. This does not mean that the da'i must know all of Islam before inviting others. However, it does mean that he should have clear knowledge of whatever limited area of Islam he is inviting others to. Yani, no, there's no way that we expect people to wait before giving da'wah until they have all of the knowledge. The scholars of Islam, the true ulama of Islam, they are learning. And they are asking, and they are increasing their knowledge. So what about the common masses, you and I? We are not expected to know everything. But what we are expected to do is to limit ourselves in that which we call to that which we know. Don't talk about what you don't know. Talk about what you know. If you know one ayah of the Quran, then talk about that. If you know the foundation of Islam, at Tawheed, talk about that. Don't talk about politics in Islam, and economics in Islam, and the social system of Islam, and you don't know about it. But every Muslim is required to know at Tawheed. That is the foundation of Islam. It is the essence of Islam. It is the core of the message. So if you know that, it is sufficient. It is sufficient that you call to that which you know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bellighu anni walau ayah." Yani, convey the message from me, even if it is one ayah, one verse of Quran. If that's what you know, then that's what you should deliver to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform others that his call to Islam was based upon knowledge. And our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been ordered or commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these words, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the people, هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Yani, this is my way. I call to Allah based upon knowledge. Basira. The scholars of Tafsir said that Basira, it means al-ilm wal-yaqeen. Based upon Basira. What? Based upon knowledge. And not only knowledge, but certainty. Kamal al-ilm. The perfection of knowledge. That a person should call based on knowledge, complete knowledge of what they are calling to. Not I think. I am not absolutely sure. I am not absolutely certain. But perhaps it is like this. No, you should have knowledge. And you should have certainty. And when you know something, then call to that. What you don't know, leave it. Leave it. Because you can cause more harm than the benefit that you might imagine you will bring if you call based on ignorance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. This is my way. The way that leads to Allah. And the way that leads to the paradise of Allah. And that way, it is a way that is based upon knowledge. Yani, that a person has knowledge of the truth and that they act in accordance with it. The tariqah or the sabil of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is the way of knowledge and acting in accordance with that knowledge. Yani, it is required of every one of us to have knowledge and to act in accordance with it. How will we call people to that knowledge and we ourselves don't act in accordance with it? And that is another matter of the characteristics of the caller that we will discuss. In any case, in this ayat, there is a very important point. And it is that which should precede the first characteristic or quality of the caller, knowledge. Yani, what precedes it is ikhlas. And in this ayat, there is the indication that we are required to have sincerity in our call and sincerity in our action, in sincerity in whatever we say and we do. And that is understood from the words, أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I call to Allah. I don't call to a group or an organization or to a certain scholar or sheikh or any way or group, but I call to Allah purely for the sake of Allah. And this means that al-ikhlas or sincerity is a requirement. Indeed, the scholars of Sunnah have made it clear that of the conditions, the shurut of the acceptance of any deed after iman is al-ikhlas and al-mutaba'ah. That a person does something sincerely, purely for the sake of Allah alone, not to please anyone or to be praised by anyone or to gain any worldly benefit, but purely for the sake of Allah alone, and then in accordance with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in accordance with the sunnah, in accordance with the sharia. Therefore, it is incumbent that we make a note of this ikhlas, because ikhlas precedes everything. Whoever has knowledge and whatever, it is of no benefit if one doesn't act in accordance with it and do it purely for the sake of Allah alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 33, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And this ayat is not mentioned in your notes, but it is a point related to ikhlas. And this, the ayat mentioned from Surah Yusuf that we have mentioned, chapter 12, verse 108, it calls to our mind the importance of al-ikhlas. For this reason, we have sidetracked a little bit. Pardon me for doing so. But it should be the first characteristic that we talk about. It is al-ikhlas. Who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech? Whether that speech is calling to Allah or commanding the good or forbidding the wrong or whatever we are saying, who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then acts, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, then acts in accordance with that which they are calling to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made the pursuit of knowledge an obligation on all Muslims. After al-ikhlas, the characteristic of the da'iyah that is of the utmost importance, it is knowledge. And that knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim, whether male or female, young or old, rich or poor. The obligation of salat, it is upon those who have reached the age of maturity. And the obligation of zakat, it is upon those who have wealth beyond their need. And the obligation of hajj, it is for those who have the means to get there and the safe way to reach there. And for the women who have somebody to accompany them and so on. But the obligation of seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim without conditions. Without any condition. It is farida. Talibul ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. Without conditions. It is an obligation on every Muslim, everyone according to their ability. Therefore, seeking knowledge, correct knowledge, with the intention of earning the reward of Allah and calling to His deen and worshipping Him correctly, this is an essential characteristic that every one of us must possess. It is an obligation. This is not something that you do voluntarily, if you like or not, but it is obligatory on every one of us to seek correct knowledge, the knowledge from the Quran and the knowledge from the Sunnah, as they were understood by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and those who followed in their way from the early generations of the Muslims, as-salaf as-salih. The second characteristic that is mentioned here is kindness or gentleness, mildness, being patient and forbearant with the people, ar-rifq wa-leen. It is essential that the da'i be soft in conveying the message, because harshness could easily discourage people from listening to the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed this issue with regard to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, saying, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were severe or harsh and hard-hearted, they would have turned away from you. They would have fled from around you. They would have abandoned you. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was severe and harsh and stern with the people, they would have run away from him. They would not have listened to his message. And he is the best of humanity. He is the best of the anbiya and the mursaleen. He is the best of creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that if you didn't call the people with lean, with easiness, softly, kindly, if you didn't call the people with this characteristic, they would run away from you. They would not listen to you. So what about you and I? We are not the best of creation. We are not the best in iman. We are not the best in character. We are not the best in knowledge. Then at least when we try to deliver this message, we should deliver it in the best way. We should handle the people gently, kindly, easily, mildly. Furthermore, it was a result of Allah's mercy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gentle to those he invited to Islam. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It was by the mercy of Allah that you dealt with them gently. And this statement, it is the beginning of the ayat that is mentioned previously, and that ayat is from Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 159. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Yani it was by the mercy of Allah that you were able to deal with them. Yani leniently, gently, softly. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. And if you were harsh and severe with them, they would have fled from around you. Therefore, it is by Allah's mercy that one is able to do so. Therefore, we should know that it is upon us, it is incumbent upon us to ask Allah for His success, that He enable us to be lenient and to be kind and mild with the people, that He give us that ability so that we can deliver the message, so that people would not run from us, but that they would come to us. The caller to Islam must always consider the fact, or must consider this important fact, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed His prophets Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam to gently communicate the message of Islam to Pharaoh, who was at that time claiming that he was himself God Allah. Yani, he was claiming that he is the Lord, the Most High, Fir'aun. And in spite of that, him being an oppressor, and a harsh ruler, and a disbeliever, and a rejecter of the truth, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His prophet Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam to such a man, He has said to them, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرْ أَوْ يَخْشَى. To speak to him, yani both of you, Musa and Harun alayhi salam, speak to him mildly in order that he might يَتَذَكَّرْ. Perhaps he will reflect, perhaps he will consider, perhaps he will take heed to that which you are calling him to. Or perhaps he will fear Allah, yakhsha. Perhaps, if you deliver the message in the proper way. Give him a chance. Yani, as one of our great scholars, Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya, he said before his death, on his deathbed, when he was very ill, in the message that he delivered as advice to the Muslims, he said that, at least, if you deliver this haqq, which is very heavy, especially to those who oppose the true, the right Islam, if you deliver it to them with harshness and severity, then you will join the heaviness of the haqq, the truth, which is heavy for them, it is difficult already, to the heaviness of your bad behavior. At least treat them kindly, so that perhaps you will reduce the heaviness of the weight of them accepting the truth. Perhaps Allah might cause them to reflect and to accept and to change their ways. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to supplicate, Allahumma man wulliya min amri ummati shay'an farafaqa bihim farafaq bihi. That whoever takes charge of something of the affairs of the people of my nation, of my ummah, and they are kind to them, then be kind to him. Yani be easy with him, with such a one. And the other way, whoever is harsh with them, then be harsh with them. Indeed, this is a severe warning against those who are harsh against the people who are under their charge and their authority, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is mustajab al-dua, his dua is accepted, and he has supplicated to Allah that whoever is harsh with the people, then Allah, he asks Allah to be harsh with them. And it is likewise a great promise when he has supplicated for the one who is easy, who is lenient and mild and soft with the people, then be easy with them. And that dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we expect that it is answered. Gentleness in the dawah affects the hearts of those being invited and makes them want to listen to the message. Indeed, it is one of the means or the ways that cause people to turn and to open their heart and to listen to that important message which you want to deliver to them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, عليكم بالرفق فإنه لا يكون في شيء إلا زانه وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ. That ar-rifq, leniency, kindness, mildness, easiness, that it is incumbent upon you to use it. To use it in your life in general, especially in the call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's nothing that rifq is a part of it. Mildness and kindness and easiness. If it is a part of it, there's nothing that it is a part of except that it beautifies it. And there's nothing that it is removed from except that it distorts it, disfigures it, makes it ugly. If you take the leniency, the kindness, the easiness, gentleness out of anything, it will become ugly. Because Allah loves this quality in those who worship Him. And this is a necessary quality of those who call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith, من يحرم الرفق يحرم الخير كله. That whoever has been prohibited or prevented from having this quality of mildness and gentleness, then that person has been prevented from every kind of good. Yani they have lost everything. This is how essential is this quality, and especially in the call to the way of Allah. The third quality that is mentioned here, or characteristic, it is that hikmah, wisdom. In disseminating the message of Islam, the caller must adjust himself or herself to each situation and use the most appropriate material. Yani every person should consider who they are calling. The person who is educated or uneducated, the one who is wealthy or of high status or of authority in the land, and the one who is from the common masses. We must consider who we are calling and what is the material that we will use to call them with that is appropriate and suitable for them. Wisdom, it means to put a thing in its proper place. Therefore, this message, it has to be put in its proper place, at the proper time, in the proper way. This is the hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this ayah, which is in Surah Al-Nahl chapter 16 verse 125, and it gives the methodology, or it gives a part of the steps of the methodology of da'wah in Islam and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him, أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. عُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Yani call to the way of your Lord with wisdom. With wisdom. Use wisdom in this call. And this is the first step that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us as a way to call the people by. Some of the scholars of tafsir, particularly Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the Qur'an, he said that this hikmah, it means that which is derived from the Qur'an and Sunnah. Due to that which the Qur'an and the authentic Sunnah contains of right guidance that shows the people how to call and what to call to. Therefore, Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he said that Al-Hikmah here, it means the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Al-Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdul Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, in a discussion of this ayat, he said that a part of wisdom, yani from the hikmah that is required. And there is no contradiction between what has been said previously and what we are about to mention here. He said that part of the wisdom, from the hikmah that is expected for one to use in the call to Allah, it is to clarify the meaning and explanation in effective ways. The caller does this in the language of the one whom he is calling, so he can understand the message. Yani part of the wisdom is clarifying the meaning, explaining clearly and properly the message that you are trying to deliver. And part of that is speaking to the people in their language. And speaking to the people in their language is not sufficient, but speaking to the people according to their level of understanding, according to their level of understanding in their background, in their situation, and their circumstance. He said, the da'i, the caller, continues in this way until the one being called has no doubt remaining in his mind. And the truth, which may have been hidden due to a lack of explanation or persuasive da'wah in his own language, now becomes apparent to him. Yani the one whom the truth was hidden from, or it wasn't clear to him, when the person delivers that message clearly in the language of the people, in the way that they can understand it, then that which was not known becomes known. And that which was not clear becomes clear. And then it is possible for the person to accept that message, if Allah wills. Then he said, and this is the second step that is mentioned in this ayat, if there is a need for religious admonition, yani al-maw'idha, if there is a need for it, if it is not sufficient that you have called them with hikmah, according to what the scholars have explained as hikmah, if that is not sufficient, then perhaps you need to use the maw'idha, religious admonition. If there is a need for it, then the caller should preach, mentioning the suitable verses and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which concentrate on encouragement and warnings. Yani which concentrate on encouraging the people to do good and warning them against evil. As Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah said in his tafsir, he said, al-maw'idha al-hasana, it is the command and the prohibition that is accompanied by at-targhib wa tarhib, yani the command and prohibition that is accompanied by encouragement and warning, encouraging the person to do that which Allah has commanded by informing them of what are the benefits for them when they do what Allah has commanded, and warning them of the harms that will come to them by engaging in that which Allah has prohibited, by informing them of the honor that Allah has in store for those who believe in Him and who obey Him, and the disgrace and degradation for those who disbelieve in Him and who disobey Him. To inform them of the reward of Allah that He has for those who believe, and the punishment that is in store for those who disbelieve. Yani encouragement and discouragement, encouraging in the doing of good and the discouragement of doing that which is wrong. So if this is necessary, then the person should proceed to that step of trying to encourage the person in doing good by in giving them those things that would make them feel inclined to do that thing, to gain that great reward, and warning them against the prohibitions of Allah, the greatest of them being a shirk, which its ultimate end is eternal punishment in the hellfire. The heart of the one called will then awaken and be attached or attracted to the truth. The last part of this ayah which is not mentioned here, it is the saying of Allah, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And some of the scholars of tafsir said, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, yani argue with them in ways that are best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't say argue with them in ways that are hasan, that are good. You might think that as long as you have used a good way, it is sufficient. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders in this ayat, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, the best ways, not just any way that might be good, it might be acceptable, but in the best ways. At this point you have to use the best of what is possible. Yani those ways that will achieve the goal. It means calling them by those things, the evidences that they themselves believe in, that they can accept. Yani it is more likely that they will accept what you are saying, and that you will not fall into argumentation and disputation with them, if you call them by the evidences that they themselves believe in. If you said to a Christian, for example, why do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? They said, because He is special. He was created without a father. He only had a mother. So He is special. Therefore He is the Son of God. He doesn't have a father. So God is His father. Then we said, do you believe that Adam was born without a father and without a mother? They will have to say, yes, it is in their book. So then according to your argument, He is more special. He is more special. God, according to their argument, He is both the father and mother of Adam. So He should be more than Jesus, more than Isa alayhi salam. So if you call the people with that which they themselves believe in, there's no room for them to argue and dispute, because you're calling them based on the evidences that they themselves have already agreed to. Therefore, it is more likely that you will achieve the goal. The goal is not to overcome them, to defeat them with argumentation, because we can speak better or we have some arguments that we can use that they cannot answer. But the objective is to win the people, to save them from destruction and eternal hellfire. The fourth characteristic, it is patience, a sabr. Most of the people who come to Islam do so after a faith-seeking journey. Yani people are looking and they are searching, they are seeking. They don't, usually, we don't find so many people, in my experience. We didn't find so many people who the first time they heard about Islam, they embraced. They accepted it. We didn't find so many people. It happens, yes, sometimes. By the will of Allah, it happens. But usually, you have to talk to them and talk to them, and perhaps you might give them something to go with. And they go on and they meet somebody else, somewhere else, in another land, in another time. And that person also calls them and reminds them and invites them to Islam. And they go on and they might meet many people until they reach the point that Allah has decided for that person to enter into Islam. Then somebody speaks to them or invites them or calls them, and they embrace Islam. If we know this, then we should be patient and we should not be hasty when we call people. Don't expect immediate results. But your objective is to deliver the message. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who opens the hearts. Therefore, we should be patient when we call the people. We should not expect them to respond immediately, and every time we talk to somebody that immediately they should accept the message. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Nahl chapter 16 verse 125. I don't know if this is the correct reference. إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغِ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابِ. that what is incumbent upon you, yani meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is incumbent upon you is al-balagh, to deliver the message, to convey the message. That is what you are required to do. Wa alayna al-hisab, but it is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one to take account. Yani he is the one who will cause that person to open their heart and to accept the truth and then reward them, like in accordance. Or he is the one who doesn't accept that person, who is not worthy of this message. And Allah, only based on wisdom and knowledge, he accepts or he rejects. Allah doesn't reject anyone who is sincerely seeking the truth. But Allah loves for the people to accept the truth. It is from the will of Allah, the divine will of Allah, al-irada al-shara'iyya, that in his legislation he loves and he wills that people accept the truth. However, that is a reality that no one can deny. However, Allah also has his will, universal will, al-irada al-qawniyya, in which, for some wisdom that we might understand or not, he allows some people to go astray and not to accept the truth. But Allah doesn't lead anyone astray except the one who, when the message is brought to them, they turn away. If they turn away, then Allah turns them away. And he facilitates their going away. He makes it easy for them to go away if they turn away. But whoever turns towards Allah, Allah turns towards them. Whoever walks to Allah, Allah runs to them. Therefore, we expect that the people, if we call them, it is our responsibility to convey the message, and it is the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept or to reject them. He is the one who takes account. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 52, and it is not in your notes, but make a note of it, because it is an important ayah, chapter 42, verse 52, Surah Ash-Shura, إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, that verily you, indeed you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed you guide to a straight way, to Islam, to the correct way. You are the one who guides, who shows people, and whoever follows him, he and the prophets and the followers of the prophets show people the way, call the people to the truth, make clear the truth, yani brighten the path, put light on the road so that people will know the right way. And this is what the scholars of Sunnah call Hidayat al-Irshad, yani the guidance of showing the way, guiding the people to the right way. However, it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is the only one who can give the success to the person in recognizing the truth as truth, accepting it into their heart, and then acting in accordance with it, and staying on that path until they die on Islam. And this is what the scholars of Sunnah call Hidayat al-Tawfiq. It is the guidance that guarantees the success of the one who is called to accept that message, and then to act in accordance with it. And this is what is mentioned in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 56, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ, that verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah, Allah is addressing him. And if anyone has more right that they should have the ability to guide whom they will, it would be the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what about you and I? If it is said to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ, that you don't have the ability to guide whom you love to guide or whom you desire to guide, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ, but it is Allah who guides whomever he wills. This means that you can show the people the way, but you cannot open their heart and make them accept the truth. That is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The fifth and last characteristic that we want to mention, it is al-akhlaq or al-khuluq al-hasan, yani good character or morality. Indeed, great stress has been placed in Islam on good moral character. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summarized the essence of the Islamic message in his saying, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمْ الْأَخْلَاقِ, or in the authentic narration that the scholars of Sunnah have confirmed as reported in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And the meaning of both narrations are the same, that indeed I have been missioned, yani have been sent for the very purpose, and only for this purpose, that is to establish, to complete, and to perfect, yani good moral character. That is the mission, the essence of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever looks at that which has been mentioned in the Quran, of the objective or the purpose of as-salat and the purpose of zakat and the purpose of hajj and siyam, you will see that there is an objective. It is not just abstaining from eating and drinking to make you hungry or thirsty, but there is some objective to attain a taqwa, to get near to Allah, to have consciousness of Allah, and every one of the important rites of Islam, the pillars of Islam, every one of them have an objective. It is to rectify and to purify and to correct the soul of the human being, to bring them closer to Allah, that they will worship Him and Him alone, to establish a tawheed, to worship Allah alone, and to avoid the shirk, the worshipping of anything other than Allah, or anything along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Qalam, chapter 68, verse 4, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that indeed, verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have a magnificent character, or you are standing upon yani a very lofty character or a level or a status of character. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam companion Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma explained that khuluq, character, here it meant deen, Islam, it means Islam, that his standard of Islam, it is very high, the standard of the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By using the term character to refer to the religion of Islam, the deen of Allah, Allah stresses the importance of morality in relationship to the deen. It shows how important is this morality, this character, good moral character. It was also reported that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the Prophet's character, she replied, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an," that his character was the Qur'an, meaning that his character, it was derived from and it was based upon in accordance with that which is in the Quran. Whatever Allah has ordered in the Quran, He has done it. And whatever Allah has prohibited in the Quran, He has left it. This means that his character is based on the Quran. Whatever is in the Quran, that is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this reason, it is important for the development of good character that one closely adheres to and follows the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Yani the example, the model to be followed, the pattern that is a model for us to follow, the way that we should follow, it is indeed in the Messenger of Allah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Our example, our model is not in anyone else. It is not in any other type of personality, whether political leaders, whether scholars or whatever. But our example is only the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one who is the perfect example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent as a guidance for the whole of humanity until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Thus the rites and rituals of Islam cannot be separated from good manners. Yani we cannot separate the salat and say that I'm performing my five prayers a day, don't ask me about my character. If I'm harsh with people, if I lie or whatever, don't worry, I'm performing five prayers a day, fasting in Ramadan, I made hajj, I don't know how many times, what do you want from me? I pay my zakat. No, you cannot separate the rituals of Islam, which are designed to purify and correct and rectify the nafs, the inner being. You cannot separate these acts from the character, the morals that they are designed to develop in the human being. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-birr husnul khuluq," that righteousness is good character. Al-birr, it is husnul khuluq, good character, morals, character. This is al-birr, and al-birr, it is a comprehensive word that includes every kind of good. So if you can imagine that in good character, there's every kind of good. What more do we want than that a person should have good character? And of course, this good character, it is not limited to what we are discussing here this evening, good character in dealing with other people or in the da'wah. But that good character is also in our relationship with Allah. In our relationship with Allah, we are also expected to have the proper character. And that character is that we worship Him alone and we don't worship anything along with Him. And that we obey Him and that we do not disobey Him. And that we follow the way that He has sent and we don't add to it anything. If anybody wants to establish the Tawheed, the scholars of Sunnah said that they have to avoid a shirk. of every type, major or minor shirk. They have to, in order to establish a tawheed, you have to avoid shirk. And likewise, not only that, but you have to avoid that which is less than that, but it is also dangerous, and it is bid'ah, that you have to avoid innovation, innovating something in the deen of Allah that is not from it. And likewise, not only that, but you have to avoid sin, disobedience, and ma'asiyah. Whoever avoids these things, ash-shirk, wal-bid'ah, wal-ma'asiyah, that is the person who can truly establish the tawheed, that tawheed, which if a person really achieves it, realizes it in their life, then that person will be of those who, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about those people who were shown to him when the nations of the earth were displayed before him, each nation of people with their prophet. He said that he saw some nations of people who had only a few followers, two or three, some less than 10, some only one or two, and a prophet who didn't have anyone following him. Then he saw another large, a great number of people, and he thought that was his ummah, and they said, no, this is the ummah of Musa alayhi salam. After that he saw a greater number of people, and they said, this is your ummah. And with them are 70,000 people, 70,000, 70,000, يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب. They will enter the Jannah without accounting and without any punishment. These are the people who established Tawheed. Therefore this is the objective of everything. It is the end, the final goal, the utmost thing. It is the establishment of Tawheed and the avoidance of a shirk. For this reason, Islam teaches man how to lead a morally righteous life by pointing out the proper way to live. Then we must follow it if we know it. Any Muslim who displays bad manners, such as swearing or lying, is either a hypocrite pretending to be a Muslim or a very weak Muslim. Because from the signs of hypocrisy is that a person, when he speaks, he lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks it, and so on. So whoever possesses these characteristics, these bad characteristics, bad moral character, then that person is either a hypocrite or a weak Muslim, whose iman is very weak. Faith is inseparable from action. Faith is inseparable from action. Indeed, al-amal as-salih, it is a part of iman. According to the scholars of Sunnah, the correct definition of iman is that conviction which is in the heart, and the speech, the confession that is on the tongue, along with the actions of the body parts. That means that the actions that we do, the salat and the zakat, and telling the truth and being just and fair, this is also iman. It is not separate from the iman, but it is a part of iman. It is the perfection of iman. Whoever doesn't do these things, then if they have a sincere conviction in their heart, it will be weak, and it will be imperfect, and it cannot be perfected until they fulfill the rights of iman, and that is the actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us with, and leaving those things which He has prohibited. Therefore, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu quoted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the believer whose faith is most complete is he whose character is best. The believer whose faith is most complete, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا, the most perfect of the believers in iman is أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا, the one who has best character. Who is the best in iman? Is it the one who makes the best salat? No, it is not. But it is the one who has best character in their relationship with Allah and in their relationship with the people and the environment around them. Consequently, throughout the Quran, wherever Allah instructs humankind to believe, He always links faith with the command to do righteous deeds. Yani, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. He always links the command, the faith, the iman, to the command to do righteous deeds. The Prophet ﷺ saying in his says, for example, whoever believes in Allah and the last day should be good to his neighbor and kind to his guest. If a person really believes in Allah and the day of accounting, that they will be called to account for how they live in this world, then they must act in accordance with that. Then they should honor their guest and honor their neighbor. That being the case, there should be an underlying principle of morality at the base of all Islamic teachings. Islam covers all aspects of human existence, spiritual, social, and economic. Consequently, there is in Islam a network of moral principles governing all human relations with Allah, with other humans, as well as with the environment in which the humans exist. For example, from an Islamic perspective, worshipping others besides Allah, shirk, would be considered morally wrong and bad character. The worst of character, the most severe of sin, that Allah doesn't forgive. He might forgive stealing. He might forgive lying. He might forgive murder or rape. But He doesn't forgive shirk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيْ يُشْرَكَ بِي وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah doesn't forgive shirk. But He forgives anything that is less than that. And every sin is less than shirk. But He forgives anything that is less than that to whomever He wills. Therefore shirk has to be avoided. It is the thing that if a person engages in it, indeed it is morally wrong and it is bad character, is the worst that one can do. In the same way that lying to others or littering in the environment would be considered morally objectionable, likewise the shirk, or that which you do wrong in the deen, in your relationship with Allah, it is also considered as bad character. Therefore, it may be assumed that each of the pillars of Islam and Iman were designed to develop a particular set of moral characteristics. Without understanding the moral and spiritual goals of the pillars, they remain empty rituals which cannot benefit anyone in the next life. Now this is the end of the characteristics that we have mentioned here. However, just quickly, there's one characteristic from amongst the many that are remaining, which at least we should mention in passing, because it is of the utmost importance, and it is al-qudwa. That every one of us, we should be an example. As the Prophet ﷺ is the example for the whole of humanity, every one of us also must be an example for those who we come in contact with. We must be an example of what we call to. We must act in accordance with it. It is not enough to call to that which is good, but it is required that we act in accordance with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the believers in Surah As-Saff, chapter 61, verses 2 and 3. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Oh, you believe, why do you say that which you do not do? How do you call the people to good? How do you warn the people against wrong? How do you tell the people that Islam is right? Then you don't act in accordance with it. This is something that is hated in the sight of Allah, that you say that which you do not do. You say something, but you don't do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed the Yahud, the Jews, when He said in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 44, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Yani, do you command the people with birr, righteousness, good character, and you forget your own selves? You order the people to do good, and you forbid them from wrong, but you forgot to act in accordance with it yourselves, while you know what is right. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. You know what is right. You have the book of guidance. Not like those who are astray, who are lost, but you know right from wrong. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not have any sense? Do you have an aql? Do you have a brain, a mind? How can you know what is right? Call to that which is right, and then don't act in accordance with it yourselves. The Prophet Shu'aib, alayhi salam, it is mentioned in the Quran, the saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes to him, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. Yani, I don't want to forbid you from something and then do it myself, to oppose and contradict that which I have forbidden you from. But I should act in accordance with it. If I have forbidden you from something, then also I should avoid it. إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحِ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب. That I only want al-islah, rectification, yani correction, reformation. I only want what I am prohibiting you from. It is only to reform the society, to correct the people, to better the environment. I only want al-islah as much as I can. And I don't have any success except from Allah. And it is Him that I rely upon, and to Him I return. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any questions or comments or corrections of what we have said, inshallah we can take just a few moments. Our time is until 9:30, so I think I have 2 minutes remaining. Hold one moment. Somebody's asking a question. Just hold the line. Hold the line. Just hold it. No.
But while talking, we cannot give the honor. Earlier we were thinking that I have much knowledge. I can conveyed to me. After that, we are finding that there is lack of knowledge. I don't have that. Then I am telling, oh my dear, I don't know. And he is telling, why you came to me if you are not knowing?
No.
In this case, what we have to do, what will be the level of knowledge? After that, we should start this drama. And how we will judge the man if he is going to be.
Okay, it is this question, it is a very important question. It requires a lecture. What shall we do? I mean, what the question the brother is asking, if we go to somebody to call them to Islam, and then they start asking us some questions we cannot answer. So what should we do? What is the level of knowledge that is necessary before we can start calling people? Well, I mean, from what we have mentioned this evening, it should be clear that there is no specific level that a person has to have. You should call people to what you know. If they ask about other than that, tell them, I don't know. We don't claim that we know everything, but just tell them, I don't know. What I have said to you is what I know. If you have a question about that, I can explain it. You have another question, I can get an answer for you. Alhamdulillah, we have scholars. They can answer their questions. Don't feel like shame that you don't know. Even some scholars, they don't know. They don't know. Perhaps somebody may ask a question, they don't know. I remember one of the great scholars of today, one of the great scholars of the people of Sunnah, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad. He is one of the great scholars in the city of Medina, in the city of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the university masjid, in front of thousands of students, he was asked a question of fiqh. And he said, I don't know. He said, I don't know. I remember one of the scholars in the Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca, who was teaching in Mecca in the sacred masjid. And somebody asked him a question, and he said, you need a fatwa. He said, when the imam comes, the imam of the haram who is leading the prayers, he said, he is a mufti, ask him. He didn't answer. Don't feel that we have to answer every question. We don't know the answer to every question. But you can tell them with assurance that we can get an answer for you. Don't worry. I'll get back to you. Try to stick to that which you know. Call the people to that which you know and emphasize that which is of the utmost importance, the fundamentals of Islam. And every Muslim should know that. It is a tawheed. It is tawheed. Understand that and call people to that. That is what the people of the world need today, including the Muslims. And if they ask you something else, tell them, I don't know. Allah knows. But there are people who know. I will ask and bring you back an answer, inshallah. Sisters, have a question? Any other question or any comment? Sisters? Naam. I don't know, something's wrong with the telephone. Any question from the brothers? No. Can I answer them, if you don't mind? Maybe. And we don't want them to feel that we are not... No. I have no idea whatsoever. You want to tell me? I guess, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Fadl akhi. Fadl. Okay, we are over the time now. Until 9:30 is our time. Whoever wants to leave, you're free. We don't want to hold anybody. Maybe you have another appointment. The brother, you can ask your question, but please, we will allow those who have to leave to leave. Fadl, brother.
Alhamdulillah, and maybe everybody here is starting with the other Muslims. Make da'wah with
him. Ma'am.
Okay,
the brother, he is saying that sometimes we start with someone and we give them something, but we cannot finish. Okay, oh, it's okay. Also, we cannot finish. Whoever has more knowledge than all of us, also maybe he cannot finish. Because the finishing, it is with Allah. It is with Allah. What we are required to do is only to deliver what we have. Give them as much as you can. If there's somebody else who has some more, take them to that person, send them to that person, bring that person to them. Whatever you have the ability to do. But finishing, don't worry about it. Don't worry about finishing. Just worry about starting. Our problem is not that we cannot finish the people. Our problem is we don't start. As the brother was saying in how he converted to Islam, he said he was in the place where there are Muslims, in New York City. In New York City, they say that there are about 5 million Muslims, maybe more than that today. 5 million Muslims. That is in a Kafir country. And there are 5 million Muslims. He's saying nobody was telling him about Islam. So the problem is not finishing. The problem is starting. Somebody needs to start. If you can start, alhamdulillah, wallah, you have done much. If you will start, inshallah, others will finish. Don't worry about it. Allah will take them, inshallah, biiznillah. Jazakallah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.